Election College, episode 220, Sarah Polk.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Hey, Ben. Lots of tragedy. 1800s, first ladies. Sarah Polk, though? I mean, her husband didn't live too much longer after his presidency. Not very long at all. But she went on to live a pretty long life.
It's like there's a lot of tragedy to do with lives in the early 1800s and late 1800s in general. Really anything in the 1800s, it's pretty likely you're going to die somehow early. But yeah, she beat the odds.
Yeah, I think everybody who was born in the 1800s is gone now.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I think that's right.
I think so. Man, that's crazy.
It is crazy. At least anybody we know of, anybody documented.
Yeah. I knew people who were born in the 1800s, and alas, they're gone. And that wasn't that crazy to know somebody that was that old.
Right.
Anyway, you see what I did there? It's kind of like a good movie. I gave away the end.
Was that?
And now we're going to go all the way back to the beginning.
That was all strategery on your part.
It wasn't. It's just because now that we've been doing this 220 times, plus the dozens of times that we tried recording and, I don't know, I got nervous or something. And it didn't work out. Go figure. Here we are. So Sarah Childress, that was her name, because she wasn't born James's wife.
That would be a problem.
That would be creepy weird. So she was born as Sarah Childress in the year 1803. Her dad was Joel. He was a planter, merchant, and land speculator. And then her mom was Elizabeth. Sarah was the third of six kids. And much like many other wealthy young women, she was very well educated. She attended the Moravians Salem Academy in Winston-Salem, which, Ben, I have never been to the historic Salem area.
I know. It's a tragedy. Me either.
The Moravians are this whole culture that I would love to learn more about. But I guess I digress because we're a presidential kind of history. I don't know what we are anymore. We're talking about first ladies. This has nothing to do with elections.
Well, I mean, it does in the sense that people who got elected or didn't get elected, a lot of them had wives and they became first ladies at some point.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
Wow. I was about to say, I don't know this whole election college thing.
It's a farce.
We sit on thrones of lies.
Well,
anyway, she attended the Moravian Salem Academy and get this. The Moravians, you know, they were a pretty devout religious sect. They were all about getting women educated. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of the few places where kind of higher education was available to anybody who wasn't a white man in the early 1800s. So she had that opportunity there and definitely took advantage of it. She met James Polk before he was president, and they were actually both in Tennessee, and she was about 12 years old, he was 19 years old, and they were down there going for some schooling. And a couple years later, James was like, hey, want to go out? And apparently she said yes. And Andrew Jackson, Andy Jack, as we all well know his name is by now, actually was like pretty gung-ho about Sarah. He told James that she was, quote, wealthy, pretty, ambitious, and intelligent. And dude, you should marry her. So you'll notice that wealthy came first before anything else, but then pretty even came before ambitious or intelligent. But hey, I mean, it's Andy Jack. Yeah. What do you expect?
It reminds me of a country song. It goes, she's got her daddy's money, her mama's good looks, more laughs than a stack of comic books. Wild imagination, college education, add it all up. It's a deadly combination. She's a good bass fisher, a dynamite kisser, country than a turnip green, more country than a turnip green.
Yeah.
I think as long as I'm quoting it like that, yeah, that's what Andy Jack was saying.
That's right.
Is it bad that I know the lyrics to that song?
I don't know if it's bad, but I have less respect for you.
Okay. It's just, man, it's just a great song.
Yeah, I suppose.
Lord, if you got any miracles handy, maybe you can grant me one. I'll stop.
We'll let this one slide, but next time it's gonna come out of your paycheck.
Crapper.
In 1823, Sarah and James get engaged. And just the beginning of the next year, they get married. And so Sarah's about 20 years old, and James is about 28 years old at this point. And they get married at Sarah's parents' plantation.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, a decade, well, 8 years makes such a big difference because, you know, 19 and 12, that's totally creeper. It works out.
Right.
Though, not creepy at all. Yeah, so they didn't have any kids, but their nephew, or I should say his nephew, right? Marshall Tate Polk was raised in their house kind of like a son. And it's interesting to note that after James Polk was president and after he passed away, Mrs. Polk took on the role of mother to her niece, Sarah Polk Jedden.
Kind of admirable.
There you go.
So Sarah, we know from pictures that we have of her and also descriptions by, you know, when you don't have the luxury of television and a lot of pictures and stuff like that, you go somewhere, you meet people, you document everything that happens. And actually, that's how we know a lot of the things that happen, like at different presidents' homes or at the White House, is that people would get invited to parties or whatever, and they would describe in vivid detail like everything that went on and everything everybody was wearing and what they looked like. But all that to say, we know that Sarah, from a combination of pictures and written things, was pretty tall, and she had black hair. She was kind of a not dark skinned but darker than white skinned, and she always kind of frowned. But it was really just because she was tightening her lips up and had kind of larger teeth. So everybody kind of thought she looked beautiful, but also very serious and stern and kind of intimidating.
Yeah, and some of you will probably be thinking of initials to describe what that appearance is, but that's totally sexist. So speaking of sexism, because I think that if Sarah Polk were alive today, she would probably be a rock star first lady that would be very well recognized in the media as being, well, a very trusted advisor to the mm-hmm. president. And that's exactly what she was. The people who were close to the presidency, close to Washington, D.C. life and all that went in there, they got it. They saw Sarah Polk and they were like, yep, she is the one who she's got the political brains. And she did everything from helping James with his speeches and was like, hey, buddy, this is what you need to do. I think this whole manifest destiny thing is probably an idea that you should ascribe to. And maybe you should listen to me for once. And James was like, yeah, yes, ma'am. And he did. And he probably is the... How do we describe this? The presidency, we've talked about this before, but he's probably the most influential president that nobody remembers.
Oh, that's definitely, yeah, that's definitely true. Well, I can't say definitely true, but it's certainly true in my case, at least, that I often forget he existed and he did a lot of stuff.
You ever notice that when, I don't know if you get very many license plates from Iowa in Western PA, but here in Cincinnati, we do see a good number of Iowa license plates, and I always see Polk County, and that must be a really yeah. big county, or that must just be where everybody in Iowa lives.
It's everybody in Iowa hates, or everybody in Polk County hates living there, so they always have to come to Northern Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Polk County people, I just wanted to say hi to you, and I saw your car.
So, Sarah loves all the duties that come along with being the first lady. She, you know, she likes doing the parties. She likes getting dressed up. She likes inviting people over and having things to do. She also liked getting into the middle of stuff, apparently. Before James was president. She was around whenever the whole petticoat affair was happening, or the Eaton affair, whichever you prefer, and, you know, totally dismissed Peggy Eaton out of hand. And Jackson's like, hey, this isn't okay. And she was one of the kind of instigators in that whole mess of things. So anyway, fast forward a few years. She's the first lady, or the 11th first lady. And everybody likes her. She's a great conversationalist. She's, like I said, good at parties and planning and stuff like that. And she's going to be an asset to President Polk.
Yeah. And when President Polk was like, man, I'm going to work hard and just dive into the duties of president, she's like, hey, dude, chill out. You need your health. You need to take care of yourself first, because if you don't have a good physical disposition and you're not energetic, well, then you're not going to do anyone any good. So he's like, yes, ma'am. And there you go. That's the end. That's the end of the episode. No.
So it's kind of funny, Jason, because, you know, she had the reputation, and we still know her as having a reputation of throwing good parties and stuff like that. But we talked about her upbringing in kind of a religious area, and she's also known to have been a pretty devout Presbyterian. And if we know anything about Presbyterians, I think, you know, a lot of times we hear nicknames thrown around like the Frozen Chosen, because they're very stern and uptight. And that's not always the case, of course. That's a very wide reaching stereotype. But they were known at this time for being against things like dancing and cards and liquor and stuff like that. So Sarah actually outlawed, or not outlawed, but banned dancing and card games and liquor, and wouldn't go to horse races or go to the theater with anybody, especially her husband, during that time. And she even showed up to the inaugural ball and was like, great, I'm here at the ball. I'm not dancing. Sorry. You guys want to come over for Thanksgiving? That's fine. We'll do the Thanksgiving thing. But don't think you're going to have any booze in this house, because that's not happening. And we're not playing cards.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, did you know Grandma, she wouldn't. I don't think she came down hard on us if she knew that we played cards, but she didn't have any cards in the house.
Yeah, I know. I remember there's two instances in my life where I got in trouble for having cards. Not really in trouble, but, and I never knew why. Like, I didn't understand, because I was, you know, 9 or 10 years old. But one time I loved, like, stupid little magic tricks. And so we had just gone to, like, a new church, and I tried to show some people at the church, and they were older people, a magic trick. And they were like, you have cards in the church? How dare you? And the other time was with Grandma. She was just like, hey, what are you doing with cards? And I was like, I'm doing magic tricks. And she's like, how are you doing magic tricks? And I was like, I don't know. I read this little book, and it told me how to do them. And she goes, okay, well, you can show me. And then she never said anything to me more about it. But I always remember her asking, like, in a very strange way, like, what's up with those? What are you doing with cards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, what Ben isn't telling you is that after that, he went out and smoked a cigar with Grandma. Yeah. No,
we drank a fifth of whiskey, and
that did not happen.
You also have to realize our grandma was born in what, 1923? Is that right? 29? Somewhere in there. 1920s. So, yeah, she saw some stuff.
Yeah, lots of stuff. It's crazy. She actually grew up in Southern Kentucky and experienced a lot of crazy things back during the Depression. And how does that apply to the podcast? Well, just know
cards.
That, yeah. And it's kind of the same culture, probably, that the Polks were a little bit more uppity, and you had the plantation lifestyle and things like that. But the whole Scottish-Irish thing, kind of running through the blood of all these people, and that's kind of a little link there.
Definitely.
But, yeah, our family was definitely not wealthy, and kind of worked on the railroad and stuff like that. Anyway, it's kind of like you're all gathering around the kiddie table, and we're just chatting, so. Thanksgiving, and no dancing. No cards. And this was a very different atmosphere in the executive mansion because Julia Tyler, you know.
Oh, man, yeah.
Set un scandal. You know, she was a scandalous woman who appeared in an advertisement in her youth. And she had these crazy parties that, you know, people were, you know, doing the dancing thing. And Dance Party USA 1840s edition. Do you remember Dance Party?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man. USA Network. Dance Party USA. And it was just people. It was like American Bandstand is probably more famous, but.
Yeah.
Man.
It sounds great.
It was. You just have to. I bet on YouTube if you.
You're painting a riveting YouTube picture.
It's just people dancing in a room and the camera is panning across, you know, and people are getting down.
Uh huh. Like Soul Train.
Yeah, but Soul Train was a lot better.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Julia Dance Party USA Tyler, you know, was youthful and had all kinds of crazy things going on, like booze and dancing. Well, Sarah Polk, no. And as a matter of fact, they being the establishment, gave her the nickname Sahara Sarah. Because everybody knows in the Sahara, they don't dance.
That's right. Or have wine, apparently. And there's a, you know, kind of some people who said, yeah, there was never wine at the White House when Sarah was around. But then there are some other people who were like, yeah, I remember there being like a ton of wine. And we had 6 different wine glasses and stuff like that. So who knows? It could have been a varying thing. And maybe it was depending on who was coming over, etc. Who knows? But anyway, after Zachary Taylor gets inaugurated, who is the James Polk's successor, James and Sarah go by horse and carriage back to Polk Place in Nashville, Tennessee. And only a few months later, James dies, and thus is the shortest retirement of any U.S. president. So the government's like, yeah, you probably are going to need a way to survive for the rest of your life, because that's what happens. So here's a yearly pension of $5,000.
Yeah, so she's living there at Polk Place, and, well, as we all know, about a decade and a half, not even a decade and a half, right? Civil War breaks out, and there she is in Tennessee. But Polk Place was kind of a refuge in the midst of all of the craziness. She was officially neutral, which is the stance that any former First Lady of the United States probably would and should take, especially if she's going to collect that pension money, right? She did have some family who did fight in the Confederate Army, but Union commanders like George Henry Thomas and Grant and William Tecumseh Sherman stopped by, and they probably had tea and crumpets.
And probably not booze.
Something, yeah. So Sarah lived at Polk Place for 42 years, and until the day she died, she wore black because she was officially in mourning over her husband.
Yeah. She died at age 87 in 1891, and was buried in Nashville at first, and then later they took them to both bodies to the Tennessee State Capitol, and there she lays at rest.
Yeah, it's crazy about Polk Place because some have said that she just kind of let the place fall into disrepair. It was torn down by a developer like maybe 2 years after. I can't remember exactly how many years it was, but not soon after she passed away. Developers were like, okay, this place needs to go. And so they took Polk's body, James Polk's body, and her body, and transported them over. And their bodies have been on tour ever since because, well, right now they're buried at the Tennessee State Capitol, like Ben said. But there is talk. And the Tennessee State Legislature approved a measure that would enable the bodies to be moved to the James K. Polk Historic Site, which was actually where he lived well before he was president. His dad actually built that house, and they want him there because they're like, hey, this might help tourism.
Yeah, he belongs there probably in their minds, and hey, maybe in some others. Why don't you let us know what you think? Where do you think James Polk and Sarah Polk should be laid to rest permanently? You could do that over on our social media channels. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram are places you can find us. If just look for Election College.
Hey, and if you really love your cousins, can we say that? Because we are all cousins.
That's true.
And you know, distantly. In some cultures, we just go ahead and say it. We call people who are older than us auntie and uncle. Yeah, we're cousins. So if your cousin had a podcast, you would probably leave him or her a positive review in iTunes because you want to be supportive. And we're like the kind cousins that you want to be associated with, not the creeper who's probably in jail. yeah. So we are those. And if you go to electioncollege.com/iTunes or search us in iTunes, you're going to find us. And it's going to be very easy for you. It's going to take about 89.3 seconds because you're going to give a well-thought-out review about the podcast.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to go ahead and grab your spouse's phone or your kid's phone or your dad's phone or Uncle Bob's phone or whatever and leave us a review on their account as well. We won't mind.
Yeah, because...
And neither will they.
Yeah, because, hey, we're all family, and that's how we roll around these parts. And if you want more filler in a podcast to talk about historic figures, just wait till the next episode when we talk about Mrs. Taylor.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you in a couple of days.